and say amen. Amen. Today's sermon is actually, you can't go wrong with trusting God. The scripture has been read into your hearing, and it comes from the book of Luke, the first chapter, verses 26 through 38. And before we go any further, I just ask that you take a moment, and can we thank Tori for being our liturgist today? She did a beautiful job. Can we give God a hand clap of praise for her? You know, it's getting to the point where when Tori come to church, she don't know what she's walking into. So we thank God for her heart and having a desire to want to be of service. Our scripture reading had been read into your hearing, so I won't read it again. But as I was meditating, as I was in preparation for the message today, I got to thinking about one of the greatest things that came out in technology is the GPS system. I don't know about you, but for me, it has saved me a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of gas and money. And I got to thinking about how good it is, especially since they've worked out a lot of the kinks. I remember the first time that I used the GPS system. When it first came out, we were in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I was there with some of my coworkers, and we had went to a social works conference. And so we rented a car. You know, our job sent us there, and so we rented a car. And none of us had ever been to Albuquerque, New Mexico before. So, you know, when they had the option for us to be able to rent a GPS system, quite naturally, you know that we did. One of the things that I like about the GPS system is that the first time when we used it, when we punched in our destination, whoop, it gave us the instructions. It told us exactly how to get to where we were trying to go. But one of the greatest things that I found out about the GPS system is that when we made a wrong turn, the GPS system didn't get mad at us. It didn't fuss at us for making a wrong turn. Only thing it did is it's recalculating, and then it spit out our destination. It told us how to turn and to navigate and to get to where we were trying to go. Notice what I said is that when we made a wrong turn, the GPS system didn't get mad. It just recalculated. You know, sometimes when you ride with somebody and they're reading a map and you make a wrong turn, that person may get a little upset. Okay. Anybody gonna talk to me? But the GPS system does not get mad at you. It just recalculates and it points you in the right direction. While we were there, we depended upon that GPS system to get us to our destination. We trusted in that thing a lot. As a matter of fact, I still trust in the GPS system as I'm trying to navigate to find some of your houses, as I try to navigate to find some of the different destinations in the area. I still rely a lot on the GPS system so that I am able to get around. And again, the one thing that I discover is that no matter how I may get off the path, the GPS system does not get mad at me. It just recalculates the commands and points me in the right direction. I trust that if I follow the GPS system, I will get to where I am trying to go. When I get off course, I can trust that the GPS system will recalculate, and if I listen to the GPS system, I will get to where I am trying to go. Well, this is nothing new. The Bible is a lot like the GPS system. It's God's way of redirecting the path for his people to get to their heavenly destination. Like I trust and depend on the GPS system, we can trust and depend upon God much more. From the very beginning, in the book of Genesis, God made a promise to his people, and as the scripture was read, we see the fulfillment of that promise. In our scripture, Gabriel announces to Mary that she is about to become the mother of the Son of God. He not only shares that good news, but there are a few other things that we cannot overlook. Gabriel tells Mary that she is favored. Somebody say favored. Favored. Now, you know, and those of you who know me, a lot of times when I ask you to repeat what I'm saying. I just want to make sure that you're paying attention to me, and I want to make sure nobody is nodding off going to sleep. The King James Version says she is highly favored. We often think of Mary as somehow better than us and more righteous, more holy, more perfect than the normal person. The truth is, Mary was ordinary. She had done nothing special to earn God's favor. She had done nothing to earn God's favor. She had done nothing special to earn God's favor. Did you get that? It was her very ordinariness, her humanness, that made her the best possible mother for the one who would be completely human and completely God. It wasn't Mary's perfection. It wasn't her being a perfectionist that mattered. It was her faithfulness, her obedience in response to God's favor. She trusted God enough to respond to his word. God highly favors each of us. God is with each of us, not because of our goodness, not because of anything that we do. We cannot earn God's favor. God's favor is given to us because he loves us. Did you get that? God's favor is given to us because he loves us, not because we work or we can earn his favor. It's because of God's grace that he extends his favor to us. It is love that we do not deserve. It does not matter how holy or perfect we are or not. What matters is how we respond to God's love. What matters is our faithful obedience to God's call. And that faithful obedience comes as we trust God. Somebody say, trust God. Earlier this year, we did the illustration, and I used Karen San Miguel. I'm asking her to listen to my voice. I blindfolded her and I asked her to follow my instructions. She could only follow my instructions and listen to my voice because the level of trust that has been built between Karen and I. We can believe God because we trust him. In trusting God, we can be obedient to his word, to his will, and his way. Why? I'm glad you asked. Because obedience to God is very important. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Jesus is very concerned about us, and he wants us to do more than participate in good works. He wants us to believe in him. He wants us to come up higher and be like him. When we are obedient to God, we are doing just that, knowing him, loving him, and having a personal and intimate relationship with him. To do this, we must be attentive to God. This is not an option, because you can't have an intimate relationship with Jesus and trample on his word that he taught. Being obedient to God is not the same as sticking to the speed limit. Because if you don't, you'll get a fine because you disobeyed. Obedience to God is living God's word. Somebody say, living God's word. Because you want to enjoy being filled with the love of Jesus. We must believe in Jesus. We must have faith in him. We must trust him. Just like he was with Mary, he is with us. In the same breath, Gabriel not only tells Mary that God favors her, he tells her that God is with her. She will bear a son. He will be called Emmanuel, God with us. But God is already with Mary, and Gabriel wants to be sure she knows that this is true. Stop and think about it for a moment. Here we have a young, unmarried girl who would have held no status, no power at all in her world. She would have gone completely unnoticed by everyone except for her immediate family. Have you ever felt like the rest of the world ignores you completely? Have you ever felt that you are powerless? Have you ever felt no value at all? Have you ever found it difficult to hang on to hope? Have you been frustrated by the way your cries have went unanswered? Have you ever been frustrated because when you pray, you felt like God did not hear your prayers? Have you ever been frustrated because your prayers went unanswered? That was Mary's normal existence. And in the midst of her powerless life, an angel of the Lord shows up and said, God has noticed you. God values you. The all-powerful God who created the universe is right here with you. To the powerless, trust that God is with you. To the frustrated, trust that God is with you. To those whose prayers have gone unanswered, trust that God hears you. Just like God noticed Mary, God notices you. I can imagine that the kind of news that Mary had received could be pretty scary. But Gabriel tells Mary, do not be afraid. Luke tells us that Mary was deeply confused by his words and tried to figure out what sort of greeting this might be. No wonder the angel of the Lord told Mary, do not be afraid. An angel from God standing beside her, telling her that God values her, that God is going to do something great. Somebody say great. God is going to do something great in her that will change the whole world forever. The angel knew that what was about to happen to Mary would be scary to her. She was very young, just the opposite of her cousin Elizabeth, who was more mature. But both women were about to have babies. One of those babies would be called John the Baptist. The other is Jesus. God was doing a great thing, and Mary must have wondered how she would have been chosen to be a part of it. No one ever had given birth to the Son of God before. It's often been said that we are only afraid of what we don't know. And Mary was facing the biggest unknown, the biggest uncertainty in history. So I can imagine that she was quite afraid. But Gabriel said, stop it. Stop being afraid. God's got this. You can trust him. God says the same thing to us whenever we are facing situations that we don't quite understand. God says the same thing to us whenever we face what we don't know. Whether we are afraid of failing, of being hurt by someone, or hurting someone, know this, God's got it. You can trust him. Stop being afraid. Somebody shout, trust God.
Trust God.
Mary asked Gabriel a question. Her question sounds a lot like the question Zechariah asked when Gabriel appeared to him, telling him that his wife Elizabeth would have a child in her old age. You can read about that around the 18th verse. How can I be sure? Was Zechariah's question. He wanted some proof that what the angel was saying to him was true. He wanted a sign that the words Gabriel spoke were true. He didn't trust him. But Mary's question was not like Zechariah's question. Mary's question was a little bit different. Her faith was not wavering. Her faith was strong and trusting God. But she wanted to know, how can I be sure? Instead of her asking, how can I be sure? She wanted to know, how will this be? The difference may be subtle, but it's huge. Mary trusted God to do what he said he would do. She didn't need proof as Zechariah did. She trusted that everything the angel had said to her was true. She just wanted to know what was the process. She wanted to know how this was going to happen. She wanted to know what was the protocol for a virgin to give birth. She wanted to know how could this be? What was going to happen? What was the process? She just wanted to know how it was going to happen. What the protocol for a virgin birth? How does God become human? Okay, tell me what to expect, was all Mary wanted to know. How exactly is this going to work? Gabriel's response is, nothing is impossible with God. If God can make an old woman pregnant, he can do anything. Mary didn't need to know the specifics. How often do we second guess God like Zechariah? How often do we need to see proof before we are willing to commit our lives to following the path that God has set before us? How often do we be weighed down in the details that really aren't that important? What's important is for us to trust God. Somebody say, trust God.
Trust
God. God calls us to trust Him completely. Mary said, let this thing you have told me that was about to happen to me, let it be as you have said. Mary responded completely trusting God. Mary responded completely trusting God. Mary responded completely trusting God. Mary's response was an act of humble obedience. Everything was being turned upside down, inside out, as far as Mary could tell. But God had a plan to save the world through His Son, Jesus. Mary trusted God enough to be used by Him. So then my question to you becomes, how is God showing you His favor? What are you afraid of? What are you allowing to stop you from trusting God? What miracle is God ready to work through you, but you're afraid? What miracle is God ready to do through you that seems impossible? So are you willing, like Mary was, to let God do anything with your life that He wants to? Are you willing to let God take control of you, to be with you, even when things are really confusing and scary? Because that's exactly what God wants from us. He wants us to trust Him completely. He wants to be with you and to do great things in your life, just like He did Mary's. We are talking about Mary during this Christmas season because she trusted God enough to allow herself to be used by Him. Imagine if she hadn't. We'd be having a different conversation. See, God gave Mary His best, and God wants to give you His best because He loves you just that much. You have found favor with God. You may not see an angel standing in front of you. Okay, only one person got that joke. You may not see an angel even standing next to you, but the message is still the same. God has a message for you, the same one that He had for Mary. Hear the good news. God is with you. You can stop being afraid because God loves you so very much that He sent His own Son so that if you believe in Him, you will have a place with Him forever. Know this, nothing is impossible with God. You can't go wrong by putting your faith and your trust in God. The Word of God for the people of God. Amen. Oh, y'all wasn't prepared for me to stop, huh? At this time, we're going to ask that our ushers please come.